So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Let's pray. Father, we open our hearts and our minds to you. Lord, I pray you speak today. Lord, on the subject of giving, Lord, and reading from your word, Lord, I pray that we hear things from you, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we haven't heard before. And I pray today, Lord, if we need corrections, Lord, that we make corrections. Lord, if there's just motivation in us to continue what we're doing, I pray for that motivation as well. But Lord, we want to hear from you today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've been going through this series, I hope you're picking up on a word or a theme as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. And I might actually, I would maybe change it to the Sermon of the Heart. It seems like that's what Jesus keeps pounding on week after week or verse after verse, is we're learning about our heart, the condition of our heart. And this week, as we go through this beginning section here, there's an element to the heart. And maybe I'll use something a little common that we're kind of used to in this day and age we're in, and that is a masked heart. In this scripture, it talks about hypocrites, and we kind of understand what hypocrites are, but back then a hypocrite was an actor who wore a mask. And Jesus is saying, don't be like the actors who wear masks. Why would you wear masks? Well, why would we mask our heart? One, we could use a disguise. We're trying to cover up. We're trying to filter. We're trying to show you something that's not genuine or real. We might mask our heart. We might be a hypocrite that way. Or we might mask to not allow certain things to get out or get in of the heart. And in this regard, Jesus is saying, that doesn't work. Because Jesus knows what's in your heart. As much as you want to be a hypocrite, as much as you want to mask your heart, it's not going to work. Because Jesus can peer into your heart and see exactly what it's like, the condition of your heart. In Matthew chapter 5, as we went through that section, there was this comparison. He kept on talking about the outward acts and the inward acts, and they were both wrong. On the outward, there was murder, and he's saying that's wrong. But it's based about something on the inward, which is hatred and anger. Both of these are wrong. The inward is wrong. The outward is wrong. And so the people listening to this are like, okay, all right, that's a tough one because we're just used to the outward and we shouldn't do these bad things. But you're saying, wow, there's inward stuff that we got to work on. So they're already being challenged. And then Jesus cranks up the heat a little bit more in chapter 6. Now he's saying, okay, now there are inward things that are wrong, but there are outward things that are good. Giving is good, but it's actually bad because you're doing it inwardly with the wrong motives. So now he's got them thoroughly confused. You mean these good things we're doing don't even count? And Jesus is like, yes, because inwardly your heart is wrong. There is sin on the inside. And even though you think it's good coming out, it's not. And he begins in the early part of chapter 6, he begins covering three types of piety. Now, that's probably not a word we use very often, but it means to be religious or to be reverent. And he covers almsgiving or giving to the poor and prayer and fasting. So we'll be talking about almsgiving or giving to the poor here this morning. Pastor Robert will be speaking next week on prayer and fasting. And these are outward things that should be done reverently. But Jesus is bringing them out saying, inwardly, something's messed up. So let's look at giving. The first thing you have to know, the first thing you got to put in your mind and your heart is, giving is good. Giving is good. And if you don't practice this enough, I'm a volunteer. You know, you can practice with me. You can give me things. I'm all right with that. Giving is good. But giving with the wrong motives is not. So understand and believe that giving is a good thing. But more importantly, we need to understand, and we get this from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, that giving is a command. It says, there will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. It's a command to give. And at the beginning of that, there will always be those in need. So God is commanding us. Not only is it a good thing to do, but it's a command. So let's look at giving. And maybe there are many reasons, but this morning we're going to look at three reasons to give. Three reasons why we would probably give or have a desire to give. The first reason that we would give would be us trying to find favor with God. We might think, I'm bad, or I've done something bad. So let me give to God. Let me try to convince God. Let me try to bribe God to overlook my badness. Is that a good reason to give? But that's a reason why we would give. Let me try to get on God's good side. And so if I give him stuff or money or I show kindness, then I'm on God's good side. He'll like me more if I give. Let me try to appease God with my bank account. Is that a good motivation? You know, we try that with our kids in the grocery store. They're flopping on the ground, crying and screaming, and you pull out a dollar. Here, go get something. What happens? They light up. Is that how God works? Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 and 3. It says, my hands have made both heaven and earth. This is God. He's made heaven and earth, and everything in them are mine. Just wrap your mind around that. Everything is God's. And what we try to appease him with his stuff, go into a bank, rob them of their money, and turn around and go back to them and go, here you go. Are they appeased? No, because it was theirs in the first place. They're probably a little upset with you. God has, owns, controls, creates everything. I, the Lord, have spoken. In the original Hebrew, that was from The Mandalorian, it said, I have spoken. There's no Star Wars fans out there, sorry. It goes on, I will bless. The NIV says, I will favor. Again, we're looking at God's favor. I will favor those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. But those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted. We're trying to find favor with God by giving him money. But based upon our heart, based upon the condition of our heart, God will not accept it. Now, the person you give it to, the organization you give it to, oh, they'll be like, yeah, thank you. That's great. That's fine. But God's like, that is not acceptable to me because your heart is selfish. You have sins in your heart. Your motivation is wrong. If you're trying to find favor in God by giving, it's not going to work. Is that why you give? Do you try to give to get on God's good side? It's not how he operates. He wants it out of a pure motivation. Another reason why, second reason why we might give, and that would be to find favor with man. I know there's a story in the scriptures. There's many stories that even I as a pastor, I struggle with. You read through and go, really? Why is that in there? Boy, that's challenging. This is hard. And so this portion of scripture, I think if we look at it as in, if you ask the question, okay, what is the intent or purpose of this scripture? If we look at what's the heart of this, what is the heart motivation in this? And again, that's what we're talking about here. I think we can get a little better picture. But the story is in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, but there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming that it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, He kept the rest. Sounds like the Garden of Eden all over again. Husband and wife. Okay, verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. And he explains this very well. He says, the property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wish. You could have done this or not done this. No big deal. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. So you didn't have to give the money away. It was up to you. But how could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell on the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. Verse 9. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. And instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. Would you be a little fearful if you were there? Someone comes with an offering and they fall over dead. They lied and died. But is that the right fear? Is it the fear of death? Or is it possibly within your heart you go, you know what, I have that same attitude sometimes. That would be fearful for me. So what they're showing is their heart. They came in and they, if we could have seen, if we had Superman X-ray vision and saw within their chest, what sort of heart would you have seen? It would have been black and shriveled, barely moving. It would have been flaky and dying. That was their heart. And they were proud of their heart, thinking their little act was wonderful. But in their heart, there was deception. In their heart, there was selfishness. In their heart was greed. And their heart was full of sin. And they expected a great blessing, a great favor of the sin in their heart. Jesus can see within your chest cavity. And he knows exactly what you think. He knows exactly what your heart is. What does he see? And it was revealed to Peter. He could see it as they came in, as Ananias came in. He's like, oh, that is a wicked heart. Did he know what God was going to do? I don't think so. I don't know. But it terrified the church. And I think maybe more so because they looked at their hearts and they go, wow, I'm like that. You see, Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted the church, they wanted people to recognize how generous they were, how much money they gave. Oh, look at Ananias and Sapphira. They're so wonderful. They're giving. God wants us to give, but not to try to find favor with God, and most importantly, not to find favor with our fellow man. We don't give to say, look at me. Look at how wonderful and jealous or generous I am. I'm going to take a little detour. I'm going to step up on a soapbox, and I'm going to complain a little bit, okay? I'm going to grumble. This is just me, okay? So if lightning strikes, it's all on me, okay? I'm just going to get something off my chest. We live in a day and age that encourages this selfish attitude. It's all around us. 20 years ago, in your vocabulary, did you have the word selfie? Do you remember when we first tried to do that with the old 35 millimeters? And then a week later, we get it back and we see our left ear. You know, it was terrible. It didn't work. Now we have these selfies and we have these filters, right? Look at me. That ain't you. I know who you are. I know what you look like. That doesn't look like you. We have these things to mask us, to cover us up. And then we have these things that we can post, tweets and Facebook and all those different things. And there's a concept, an idea out there, and we throw out what we think because what we think is perfect and right. And then we put it out there and we hashtag it and we go, okay, I'm good. And someone says, well, that's a dumb idea. And we go, oh, but it's my thought. You're offending me. You're hurting me. We have this world around us that encourages us to promote us, to elevate us, to put me first, to put me before you, or you should look at me. Now, in our reading, it talked about trumpets, that the rich would use trumpets, and I read some debate. Did they actually do that? But some did point out that it's believed that some of the rich would go to the city streets, and they'd blow a trumpet, and everyone in the area would go, oh, what's that? And they'd come to see what they would say, what they would do, or what they would give away. So it was a notification to come and look. 2,000 years ago, we had trumpets. Now we have, ding, oh, they went on vacation. Ding, oh, she went shopping. I got to get that. Ding, oh, she's working at the soup kitchen again. This is awesome. Ding, ding, ding. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. This is the day and age we live in. And what I dislike most about it, what I dare say what I hate about it, is that it grips me. I dislike this because I too want to do that. And I fail. I believe I have a good heart. And I honor and I love and I care for people. But I've been lied to, lied about, rejected, criticized, mocked. All these things when I think it's out of a good motivation. And yet I get this negative and I want to stand up and say, yeah, but look at me. Here, let me show you my posts. Let me show you all the things that I did. Let me show you my bank account. Let me show you my tax credit sort of write-off sort of stuff. Let me show you. And as soon as that thought comes in, I just feel that yucky black heart in me. I hate this attitude of this world because it wants to grip me. And I know it wants to grip you. I know you want to promote yourself and elevate yourself. But God says, that's not my kingdom. That's not my heart. That's not my motivation. You need to push that aside. You need to shun that. You need to flee from that. 1 Corinthians 1:31 tells us, if I'm going to boast about, if I'm going to brag about, if I'm going to be prideful of something, it's God, not me. He is the only thing worth boasting. And anytime you want to post or speak or act in promotion of yourself, oh, be very cautious. You have to ask the question, why am I doing this? What is the motivation for this action, this word, this post, this giving? Why am I doing this? Because in the subject of giving, there is only one reason, our third reason, that we should give. We give to others because they're in need. We give to help our fellow man. That's the only reason to give, to help our fellow man. And we read, there will always be a need. There will always be need someone to receive, then there should always be people to give. Why? Because we take from an infinite vault of blessings that is God. I could take a little time here and tell you about all the times that I gave, but then I would defeat the whole point. But I will tell you this. The times that I have given in secret, when nobody knew it was me, those are the sweetest stories. Have you ever done that? You ever been around someone when they open up that letter, that card, or they receive something and they look around? Where did this come from? That blessing, that thing they needed. I just want to shout out, look up, because it came from God. God just blessed you. Yeah, you used me as a conduit, but it wasn't mine. He went through me. Those are the sweetest ways to give, is to those that don't recognize it came from you. Is that how you give? And if you've never done that, try it. Kids, that's your question on the back of your coloring. What is something kind you can do today? Something, a kind act you can do today in secret. Do something nice today without anyone knowing it. Adults, give in secret. Give with God's motivation, God's heart, God's attitude. Not to promote me, but to promote God and to bless those that are in need. Give because it's the right thing to do. But don't give the way the hypocrites do. Because Jesus said, those hypocrites, they have received all the reward they will ever get. There's three parts to that. They have received, means it's done, all the reward, so they got the max value they will ever get. So it's done. It's done, it's over, that's all they get. When they blow the trumpets and they say, look at me, I'm giving. It's done, it's over, they've received. And that should spark a question in your mind. Okay, Jesus, does that mean there's the possibility that there could be more? Absolutely. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. There is a greater reward than this fleshly, earthly thing that we can receive. Wow, you're so generous. That's all the reward you get. But in God, it's different. What's God going to reward you with? Broccoli? Well, maybe you really like broccoli. I don't know. What's he going to reward you with? When we were back in Wapaka, we'd go to Appleton, where the Brewers had a minor league team called the Rattlers. And we'd go there, and I think the first time we went, my youngest was like 2 years old, so 2, 4, and 6. And they had, when you walked in, this big giant wheel with like 20 different prizes on it. So I'd give them all a couple of bucks and they'd spin the wheel and their eyes are always big. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? They'd always get something. God wants to reward you. And his big spinny wheel of rewards is infinite. It's greater than you can imagine. But it's also, I believe, not just earthly. I believe it's eternal. There are rewards you can receive now and in the future. I hope mine is a log cabin with big windows overlooking a lake in the future, in heaven. I hope that's my mansion. Is that the reward? I don't know. Maybe it'll be a trailer. I don't know. Maybe a tent. Maybe I'll just get a tent. I don't know. But God has an infinite amount of rewards. And he gives them out generously because he wants us to be generous. But he gives it out to those that have the right heart. Those that say, there's a need. I have nothing, but I have God. God, what do I give? God wants to reward you. But he rewards the right heart. The humble heart. The contrite heart. So we'll conclude with the scripture that, what does this heart look like? Pastor, what should my heart be like? For God's reward, for God to bless. And we get it out of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. Do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is a picture of what your heart should look like. Do you know anyone like this? Do you know anyone around you that you would say, that is a Micah 6:8 person? They're humble. They're contrite. They love mercy. They seem to always do what is right. And when you're around that person, what do you want? Can I get some of that? How do you have that? That's the attitude in the heart that God wants of you. A humble heart. A heart that does what's right. Oh, it's that time of the month I gotta pay. I need to give. Oh, there's someone in need. Well, let's see what I got. Is that your attitude? Is that your thought? Or are you always generous because your Heavenly Father is generous? Do you walk humbly because your God in heaven walks humbly? Do you love mercy? Because God loves mercy. Do you do what's right? God's always doing what's right. That's the attitude that should be in your heart. And when we realize that we are just simply a conduit of giving, that God has everything and He wants to pour out to everyone, but He chooses you and He chooses me to be that conduit, to give. Church, we should be generous in our giving and do it with joy, because God can keep rewarding and God can keep pouring out. Let's pray. God, I thank You that You are a generous God. And Lord, I've been blessed so many times by something unexpected. Lord, whether it's a gift or just an act of kindness, someone showing up saying, how can I help? What can I do? Let me take care of that. Lord, there have been times people have come to me to fill a need that I didn't even know I had until they fulfilled the need. And they've done that because they were sensitive to You. They were listening to You, and You said, go do this. Father, I pray that we do that for everyone. That we are generous in our giving, and we do it out of the right motivation. Not to find favor in You or find favor in man. Lord, not to get recognition or a couple of likes on our phone. Lord, we want to get recognition from You. We want Your reward. Because that's the only way, the best way. Lord, we want to give because there are people in need. So Lord, encourage us to give with the right heart. And I thank You and I pray for a blessing upon this church, this congregation. Lord, I know this is a giving church. Lord, they're faithful and they are good. And not just to this place, but Lord, to this community. Lord, there are so many things people are a part of, Lord, that they continue to give out of their hearts. So Father, I pray that You bless them for that. But Lord, let that attitude grow. Lord, let us share that with our kids. And Lord, we ask that You protect our kids. They live in a day and age unlike anything we could ever imagine. Lord, it is so unlike when I was a kid. And Lord, there are so many temptations out there that drive us in the wrong direction. Lord, protect our kids. But not just to keep them away from what is evil, but Lord, let us show them what is good, what is humble, what is loving mercy, what is doing good, what is doing right. Father, let us be the example the next generation needs to see. Thank You, Lord, for this word, Your message. Thank You for Jesus, our example. Thank You for the truth. And Lord, I pray, Lord, today we make some changes and we turn our hearts to You completely and wholly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.